Morning, Ireland, 13 minutes past eight. Now, Ireland is supposed to be on track for big cuts in carbon emissions by 2030, including transport. But according to the Climate Change Advisory Council, transport emissions here actually went up last year because we're still turning to petrol and diesel more than electric. In fact, battery EV sales fell last year. We'll hear from the Climate Change Advisory Council in a moment, but why are electric car sales falling? Well, Sunday Times motoring editor Geraldine Herbert has been speaking to our reporter Ethna Dodd.
There's a number of reasons why EV sales are declining at the moment. I suppose the biggest one at the moment is that the initial surge in EV sales was driven mainly by the early adopters, and they've adopted, and there's more of a mainstream market now that car makers are trying to appeal to, and they're proving a lot more cautious, and they require a lot more reassurance on things like the charging infrastructure. So they want to cross the country with the same ease and convenience that they can do in a petrol and diesel car, and that's not the case with the charging infrastructure at the moment. The other big issue is depreciation on EVs. The reduction of the price of some EVs in the new car market has resulted in really steep depreciation on used EVs, to the point that some car dealers are not taking trade-ins on EVs. So this is obviously contributing to buyer hesitancy. There's also a lot of myths and misinformation about EVs, about, you know, the battery lifespan, about whether or not they're actually better for the environment than petrol or diesel cars. And then also there has been a lot of changes around government policies and incentives for EVs. And this, I suppose, creates uncertainty for car buyers as well.
So let's talk now. That was Geraldine Herbert, the Sunday Times motoring editor, speaking to our reporter Ethna Dodd. And Mary Donnelly, the chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, is on the line. So you've been looking at the transport sector across the board. Will you remind us, before we talk about what's been happening and what's going wrong, the 2030 target, what is it for transport and why it matters?
Thank you very much indeed, and good morning. Yes, transport is in fact our second biggest sector for emissions in the country. And the emissions in the transport sector, as you know, during COVID fell noticeably, but then rebounded, and they're continuing to increase. And the problem that we're facing is that we are locked into fossil fuel consumption in our transport sector. And the fossil fuels, firstly, they're all imported. They're imported at a very expensive price. We saw the variation in price after the Ukrainian war. We can't control that. And of course, it hits our pockets very directly. And of course, it's also bad for the environment. So the reduction of our dependence on fossil fuels in the transport sector is a key objective in this area. Last year, as you quite rightly said, the consumption of petrol went up by almost 8%. Diesel also increased. And it illustrates our lock-in to fossil fuel vehicles in our transport sector.
Now, there has, under the Greens and government, been a huge investment, hasn't there, in public transport and active travel. On the other hand, house prices and the whole capacity housing issue is driving people out of cities and into the commuter belts and their cars.
So firstly, I'll come back on the public transport one because it's probably a glimmer of positivity in this space. But in terms of where people live and how we plan where people live, this is also an area where the council has been urging the government to come forward with the new national planning framework. It was due earlier this year. We still haven't seen it. It's really, really urgent. And not only is it urgent that the policy comes out, but also that it's very ambitious. We need to plan where we're going to live so that we don't have to get into a car to go to the shop, to go to the doctor, to go to school. We need to think about how our planning provisions really facilitate our own lives and make it possible to make the kind of choices. You know, it might be that you can walk to the shop, you can cycle, you can take a public transport, as the case may be, but you're not always locked into using your car.
Which is great if you can afford to live that kind of lifestyle. And, you know, there was at one stage, wasn't there, a target of 1 million EVs by 2030, but the infrastructure is not there. And the cost, as well as the depreciation issue, is something that simply rules this out for an awful lot of people.
So for EVs, it's true that we had a surge of purchases in 2023, and your correspondent there confirmed that. There was a number of reasons for that, not least of which that supply at the end of 2022 dropped. So therefore, you know, that was all pushed into 2023. And then we had a situation where the grant was reduced. So it led to a slowdown in the sale of EVs at the end of 2023, and that has been maintained this year. The council actually has looked at what has happened in other countries, because ultimately we need to have our transport fleet to be as modern as possible and to be as low emission as possible. So we need to support the rollout of EVs. And if I take Belgium just as an illustration, they have announced the phase out, the elimination of depreciation for company fossil fuel cars from 2026. That decision doubled the amount of EVs in the corporate company car fleet. And the positive of that for consumers in Ireland would be we have a very big secondhand car market. And this would feed the secondhand car market with EVs from the company car fleet. So we're urging government to, you know, benefit from the example of other countries in Europe and to take it on board as well for this budget coming up.
And what other tax changes would you like to see? I mean, there has been talk as well, hasn't there, if we switch to EVs and you've got excise taxes on fuel coming down, that, you know, there's going to have to be more taxes raised, for instance, through tolls.
Well, in fact, yes, at the moment, the government gets about five billion euros a year out of the cars, out of motor transport, shall we say, one way or another. And indeed, IFAC itself has done an analysis of this and said if we don't change our structure, that could reduce by 2.5 billion between now and 2030. So the time is now to look at the overall architecture around transport taxation and to prepare it for the future. Because, of course, we do have a European provision coming in for 2035 where only zero emission cars can be put on the market from 2035. So it's important that consumers are not left with stranded assets, fossil fuel assets, as they go forward and approach that deadline of 2035. So it's a whole approach that the government needs to take and needs to announce.
But as you say, the grants for the EVs have been cut. So what people are also worried about is that they're going to invest an awful lot of money into an electric vehicle and then be faced with either getting very little on resale value because of the cost of replacing a battery.
Well, two things there, if I may. Just firstly on the batteries. SEAI has done an analysis of the batteries. And the batteries that are being made available in cars and EVs today in Ireland are guaranteed for 160,000 kilometres. That's on average 11 and a half years of transport in the Irish context. So battery longevity is being covered by the provisions of the regulations of putting these products on the market. So it's not, it has been a scare thing, but I don't think it really needs to be in going forward into the future. But I think the second issue is that, and again, we did an analysis of the cars that are available. And of course, some EVs are very expensive. The bigger ones are very expensive. But we found six or eight brands where you can buy an EV for less than 30,000, which makes it very competitive to the fossil fuel car. So what's happening is that the car manufacturers are coming with the lower cost versions, competitive to the fossil fuel ones. And of course, as the prices drop, that does have an impact on the secondhand market. So we are going through a process of change there, but it does mean that the electric vehicles are becoming competitive, very competitive with the fossil fuel cars. And if you take the running costs into account, again, the analysis shows it's give or take 1,500 euros a year to run a petrol or a diesel car. It's 500 to run an electric car. So the running costs of an EV are much cheaper. And now the purchase prices are starting to come down as well.
And taxation?
Taxation is going to be a part of this. At the moment, very favourable taxation provisions in place for the electric car. We need to shift our fleet to a low emission fleet. We need the taxation to support consumers in terms of doing that so that they can afford to make that transition and make that choice.
But is there a sting in that it's going to make the petrol and diesel and anyone who's still running them more expensive, both in terms of running costs and taxation?
Longer term, we will have to have a serious look at what happens to petrol and diesel. Going forward, we cannot meet our climate targets with a continued use of petrol and diesel. So the implications, the long-term trajectory is there. And I think it's very important that the government comes clearly out and makes that trajectory visible so that consumers are not misled into false notions of spending a lot of their hard-earned money buying fossil fuel cars when the trend will be to low-emission cars going forward into the future.
Mary Donnelly, Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, thank you for speaking to us on Morning Ireland, 23 minutes past 8.